All right, this email says F. Rick. By the way, listen to Johnson at 70. Not part of the CBS Radio family. Nice job, ass. You crashed MySpace with your Terry announcement. Bunch of pervs. Is it true?
Yeah, I couldn't get back on.
MySpace is really unreliable sometimes. I know that, you know, they're owned by News Corp. They're owned by Rupert Murdoch. And yet, still seems like they're being run on like a GeoCities site. It's just impossible. Man, you know this is inevitable. Rick, I saw Sarah's pic on your website, and I have an idea you should share with her. Do you want to hear the rest of this?
Yes.
Instead of going as Sarah X Dylan, she should be Sarah XXX Dylan. There you go.
Never heard that one.
Predictable much? All right. Rick, yet another photo. Oh, this is from Gay Bob. Yet another photo of you with a gay little dog. My thanks to Sarah. That's from Gay Bob. All right, there you go. Well, we aim to please. Let's see. Rick, this is, God, yet another. Didn't you have a job from Aaron?
Like you did by the lake on Naboo?
Apparently not.
No!
I always employers speak about this. Not that I care. Rick, perhaps it is time we let the schoolgirls go by the wayside. But wait, wait. Before listeners scream from my head claiming I'm one of the gays, hear me out. We have all mentioned you, strongest of all, our love for bankers, teachers, and baristas. Perhaps those three lovely variants can be the new schoolgirl. BTB, the new hotness. Schoolgirls still welcome. We are, after all, equal opportunity uglers. This is something we should talk about a little bit, because here's the thing, because it was all that Kara woman who started this. She emailed in, she was like, I'm tired of going as a schoolgirl, immediately followed by, I want to go as a prostitute instead. Which, you know, fine. It's not like the outfits are all that different, depending on where you are. I think the thing is, I think we're going to get a bunch of girls coming as schoolgirls anyway. You know what I mean? Because it's like, because we've just made that such a tradition. So I would say feel free to come as a barista. Feel free to, you know, come as a school teacher, bank teller. But I say we continue to roll with the schoolgirl thing. By the way, there's a real, and then I'll get to the Whitney Houston thing. Not only do we have that Terry woman who has that photo of her with no pants on and just wearing the military hat, but there is, and I can't find it. I don't know where I saw it. It was either on the MySpace site or it was like in the Emerson Army page or something. Not that I was checking out a page for a group all about me. I wouldn't looking at myself on the internet. But there was some listener, a girl named Bobby, I think her name was, and she had posted a picture of herself as a schoolgirl, and you could tell it was from one of our parties. Cause like it was like Chris the mailman or somebody was in the background, like some listener I reckon, like Rob or somebody was in the background. But it's her as a schoolgirl, plaid skirt and everything. And she, was it on your site, Sarah? I forget. This girl, I can't remember where, it was somewhere on MySpace, one of our sites. And it's like she posted a thing and it was like, can't wait for school girl or for the next party, gotta break out my outfit. And her profile picture was her as a schoolgirl at one of our former parties. I can't remember. And I wanted to find it because I wanted to post a link to it on my site. Like, hey, check out this hot girl dressed as a schoolgirl at one of our parties. So if you out there, if you go to like the Emerson Army site or, you know, you go on the mic, you know, whatever. If you know the picture I'm talking about, if you've seen that posting, it's on one of our pages. And it's some girl, and her picture is her as a schoolgirl at one of our old parties. If you find that, pass it my way. I want to send that to the people. Oh, by the way, Sarah, just for your edification, here's that picture of Brittany. I'll post this on my site later. That is the best picture she's ever taken.
It looks like she's stuck between an elevator door.
Yes. Yes, it does. Her hair's a little big for my taste there, but what are you going to do? She's got pointy knees. It's 503-733 and other flaws that I can only cure with my hot man love. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, it's time to turn in your hetero white guy card now. Let's see. Oh, this is about the photo. I am starting to think that me bringing you those Striper CDs is a bad choice on my part. I have no idea with it. Oh, this is the dog picture. Yeah, thanks for putting that up. I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the O-face picture.
You posted yours first.
Yeah. But mine was sweet.
You know, that photo was taken in private. Not in private, but it was not in a public. It wasn't, you know, like posted on the television.
Yeah, I didn't know that the TV was going to be freeze framed.
It's not my fault. Oh. It's not my fault they have the coin tower coming out of your bra. I didn't.
world.
I didn't do it. And the best part is, you know that there was some like some pasty D&D guy who works in the video production room, and he was like, Where should we put the coin tower? I don't know. Have it come on a Sarah's shirt. You know? I'm just saying. Shall we read the Whitney story?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. We don't have any appropriate music. Well, do you want to play the porn music for this?
Uh-huh.
That sounds appropriate.
I bought this Inquirer at the Safeway last night, and I've stopped being ashamed. The best part is, I bought it last night, and I swear to God, here's what I was buying. I went to the store. I bought, I bought some bread, spinach, and then, did you ever, like, I don't want to turn this into a whole topic, but do you ever have, like a food item you buy that you're kind of embarrassed of?
Mm-hmm. I buy a lot of macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, Tim? A food item you buy and you're like, you like it, but you don't want people to see you buying it.
Everyone's always buying fresh vegetables in front of me.
No, not one.
See, and my thing, my great shame food-wise, and I'm not going to turn this into topic, my great shame food-wise that I buy is that aerosol, like the spray cheese. I totally buy it, and I'm just trash, and that's what it is, man.
If you go to the self-checkouts, there's no embarrassment in the
bowl. No, but Safeway doesn't have that.
Oh, they don't?
And so it's like, so there I am, like 1 a.m. buying spray cheese in an Inquirer, you know? So it's hard to really, that's a rock layer you can't get beyond. All right.
Okay, you ready for the music?
This is from this week's Inquirer on the front. Let's see, what is the date on this? March 30th. No, that doesn't seem right. Oh, April 17th, 2006. Okay. Crack turned Whitney into a sex-crazed monster. By Don Gentile. When Whitney Houston is high on crack, she will try almost anything in her depraved bid for sexual satisfaction. Fueled by drugs, she takes part in lesbian sex, chases any man who comes into her house, and locks herself for hours on end in her bathroom to use her vast collection of sex toys.
Now, is there a lot of people trying to get in this house? I would imagine the neighbors must be keeping an eye on things.
Husband Bobby Brown has been driven to despair by her shameless antics, and she's even bedded the lover of one of her closest friends and relatives. The shocking revelations of her sleazy sexual appetite come from Bobby's sister, Tina.
Bobby finds her embarrassing?
Imagine Bobby Brown. Imagine the existence of activities enough to shame
Bobby Brown.
The red-faced Bobby Brown. It violated Bobby Brown's standards for decency. The shocking photos in our story made headlines around the world. Now Tina has told of the insatiable sex drive that will shock and appall. Yes, we're all appalled.
I'm appalled.
The millions of fans who have followed Whitney's career since Saving All My Love for You reached number one in 1985. 2 decades later, the Grammy-winning singer isn't saving her love at all.
Hard to understand without the teeth.
She's spreading it around.
She's giving it all away.
Sorry.
Her sister-in-law declares.
Wait.
Her sister-in-law declares, Whitney had a problem. She's got to have it. Tina, a mom of six, says it's common knowledge among family members that her sister-in-law, Whitney Houston, has had affairs with women. Bobby always tells me. Sorry.
Page two.
And now, Bobby always tells me...
Do you want me to read the part of the woman? Would that be easier?
No, I can do it.
Okay.
If you only knew, she's with this one and that one. It's no secret, says Tina, who has seen the singer in intimate clinches with other women. I seen her with a woman a couple of times. They was walking around without their shirts on when I came in the house. Whitney, who has a 13-year-old daughter, Bobby Christina, also has a collection of sex toys to satisfy herself. They are all around the damn house, says Tina. I'm constantly having to get them up. What? Oh. I don't want the kids to find them. I found them in bathrooms, different rooms, under the bed. They're all kinds of colors and stuff. She buys them at the porno shop in Atlanta. Once she came running into the home with a bag full of the devices and ran... It doesn't seem like devices is a word that Tina Brown would use, but what are you going to do? Once she came running into the home with a bag full of the devices and ran right up to her bedroom. There were guests there and they wondered why she was running so fast. Bobby say, she bought a bag of toys. And then, wait for it. She locks herself in the bathroom and then you just hear, vroom. not unlike she's firing up a Kirby.
These aren't Hot Wheels.
She smokes some crack and says, I gotta go. You know what she's gonna do. It's constant. She be in there for hours, and then I have to call out, you all right? She say, yeah, and she can't talk. Her voice is all hoarse.
Oh.
Tina, 42, says Whitney also hunts for a man to bed when she's drugged out. I can, quote, I can look at a man's eyes for 60 seconds and tell if he wants to F me or not. End quote, Whitney told Tina during a drug binge. It's gotten to the point that Bobby, no saint himself when it comes to sexual dalliances with other women, is frightened to let men into the house for fear his wife will ravage them, says Tina. There's one dealer that comes by the house, Whitney said. He's been in my room. Imagine
can being, we stop talking
imagine
about this
him being
now?
Ravaged by a toothless Whitney Houston in a diaper.
Flailing around sex toys.
Seriously. It's like being attacked by... Oh, never mind. All right, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh.
Well.
All right. I feel like I've been through an ordeal here. Let's see.
Looking for more?
Just trying to see if there's anything else.
I think that just about covers it.
I can't imagine the...
Is there more to the story, or is that the...
No, I'm just looking for other appalling headlines to read, but it doesn't look like there's nothing... There's nearly nothing in this week's issue to measure up to that, I had sensations I forgot in places I didn't even know existed or something. All right. No, we're... Okay, there we go. It's your Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We thank you for coming by. Let's see. Let me get this... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick, this is Jesse Jones, the guy that hosted that show one day.
Hi, Jesse. How are you, sir?
Good. Hey, you know when I sent food down and Bobby, the hot girl Bobby, brought you food?
Oh, do I ever, yes.
That's the Bobby you were talking about.
Really? Okay, so we were just talking about this picture that some, I was like, a girl named Bobby posted a picture somewhere, and I can't remember where, but she posted a picture of herself, and she's like, can't wait for the listener party, and then her profile picture is her as a schoolgirl at one of our other parties. Now, do you have any idea? I can't remember for the life of me.
They're on your website.
I spent a shameful amount of time this morning going through all of the MySpace pages I could think of trying to find that picture.
On the Rick Emerson website at Listener Parties, it's Bloodbath and Beyond. She
really?
She got up there and did the Clyde Lewis thing and
parties.
Wrote down Zero on her buns.
All right, let's see. Bloodbath and Beyond. I'm looking right here. There's three pages of photos. God only knows which one of these it is. Oh, yeah, this is all inappropriate. Yeah, kids, don't be looking at these photos while you're at work. Oh, that she's the one that got on stage and wrote Ground Zero on her ass.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, that gives me an idea of what I'm looking for anyway. All right, I'll do my best to find it. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right,
thanks,
Jesse. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, on your MySpace, this is from Yvonne, on your MySpace profile, you have your status listed as swinger. What do you mean by this? Can you elaborate? Sarah?
What?
You're the one who created the Rick Emerson Show MySpace profile. What do we mean by swinger, Sarah? Something you'd like to share
like
with the group?
People of all shapes and sizes.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So it's like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, we're not single, we're not married.
We are swingers, as in to swing.
It's true. It's, you know, they don't have one... They don't have an all-encompassing one I can pick, so I had to pick swingers.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
Moving on, it's 503-733-2970. All right, I'm just going to do a couple of minor things here, and then we'll take a break and we'll try to catch up. Let's see. Rick, we have this guy. He said, I heard you make the Z sound while screwing around with my synthesizer. I made this other techno sound. I don't know what it's for. Maybe you can use it to annoy Sarah. Please listen to this techno sounder.
All right.
All right, this is a techno sounder a guy created for us to use on the show.
Are you sure it's not a...
That sounds like... What did you...
All right, so there you go. That's a thing we can do with something. All right. Okay, but before we do anything, well, let's get to this. Your friend, Jeff, Charlie, who's the guy who requested Striper?
Sean.
Sorry. He had requested Striper. I'm going to play you a little bit of the song he requested because we've got the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. They're going to be performing at Listener Party 9, Kissing My Ass, which is coming up Thursday, April 20th, Sabala's Mount Tabor, brought to you by a whole series of fine folks who we will talk about a little later on, and including Four Wheel Parts, CD Game Exchange, Wild Bills. So last week we had all these people creating set list suggestions. Now later on this week, on Thursday, we're going to have you all, because we have to come up with a different name. They can't just be the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. So we're going to name the band later this week. But we were taking set list requests, and this guy was all about the Striper. So I'm going to play two quick things here. This is the song he requested. This is a song off the To Hell with the Devil album. This is called Free. This was Sean's suggestion. And this, by the way, is all towards pointing out that we really shouldn't have any Striper songs, because it's a much better idea than a reality. That's a bouncy little number, isn't it? It's a terrible song. You know, when they came up with that album title, To Hell with the Devil, they must have been so impressed with themselves. They must have thought it was the most clever thing. It almost rocks, like it goes right up to the edge of rocking. Big chorus here.
Choose your own destiny.
Great.
Yeah, sure it is.
Tim likes it too.
That'd be great for this parade of illegal aliens walking down the street. Almost sounds like Journey.
That's why Sarah likes it. All right, we're done. All right, so, but this...
Okay, that was Rocky.
This is the other one, though. This is the one I told Sarah that I was going to play for her, because this is a big favorite on the Rick Emerson Show, but I wanted to play the full length. All right, ladies and gentlemen, from Soldiers Under Command, Striper.
Anticipation.
Is this Snoopy and the Red Baron?
Greetings, World of Warcrafter.
Of the coming of the Lord, He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of.
Remember, kids, anything we're doing is worth doing with a bunch of fake ass vibrato. It's like someone's jiggling his throat while he sings.
Sounds like Condoleezza Rice.
There you go. So really, with those three songs, those two and the one we played, that's really more Striper than anybody needs. That really, I think we've now officially satiated any sort of Striper desire that might have been lurking in the heart of the audience. It's 503-733-2970. Nothing but Striper email now. Rick, mine ears have seen the horror of the coming of a slow, painful bleeding. As a Christian, I wholeheartedly apologize on behalf of all Christendom for the existence of Striper and Amy Grant. That is from Todd the Corpse, who's forever trying to redeem himself. Rick, can we please have a picture of Whitney with some sex toys? No, you can't. This is, let's see, what else? Rick. I'm moving along here. That's all just... Rick, Sarah said her definition of you both being swingers that you're not single but not married. I thought you had a wife. Okay. Okay. Let's just take a break here. We're going to take a break. Coming up, we got Tim Riley at the City Desk. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Thank you. Talking about the Sopranos, we'll also talk about Lost as well. I never got a chance to talk about this whitest phrase ever, but we'll try to get to that. Don't forget, Listener Party 9, Kissing My Ass, is coming up in just 10 days. Thursday the 20th, 7 p.m., Sabalas, Mount Tabor, 49th and Hawthorne. You stay there. We're back. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on Johnson 970. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970 right here on the Jets 970. By the way, I've updated my weblog to show that breast. Breast. That's a little bit of a slip. So now we kind of are two-fisting it now. There's a photo of Sarah making. It's not really an ooh-oh face. It's sort of an ooh face. Right below that, though, I put a visual aid for today's show. Best Britney photo ever.
If you go to sarahxtillin.com or our MySpace profile, myspace.com/TheRickEmersonShow, you can see Rick hugging a poodle.
It's not important. You know what it is. The Britney photo is quasi-safe for work. It's not... I mean, technically she's nude, I guess, but you can't really see anything. You can check that up. Dig deeper. Rick, naked pictures. Why? Oh, God, why? I should just turn the writing of the show over to the emailers, because listen to this. Who in God's name would want to see naked pictures of Whitney Houston using sex toys? It's a valid question. It really is something that deserves to be asked. And I have to say that I don't really know that I have the answer to that. I think it's one of those questions that is best left unanswered. Anyway, he says, who in God's name would want to see naked pictures of Whitney Houston using sex toys? I mean, he continues, for Christ's sakes, if I wanted to watch Skeletor throw on a bad weave and fiddle herself, I would hope my friends would be wise enough to grab the gun and put me down. F Whitney with anything. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk in the city, it's Tim Riley.
From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the CBS Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, a whole bunch of people demonstrated in Portland today. It says here hundreds, if not thousands. How do they count those? Well, they marched at Pioneer Courthouse Square, gathered at noontime at Terry Shrunk Plaza.
Terry Shrunk?
Yep, Terry Shrunk Plaza.
All right.
And let's see, they carry signs said, we want justice.
All right, whatever.
Then,
I want to go home earlier, and I want a cheeseburger. Nobody does anything about it. Eat it.
That's true, too. Thousands of protesters gathered at the state capitol in Salem yesterday, chanting things. Salem is home to some of the state's 300,000 Hispanics. By some estimates, at least half are illegal. Meanwhile, Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, the world's biggest whiner, says he's believed that the Reagan administration has refuted reports that he's planning airstrikes or even a nuclear attack on Iraq.
If only I wasn't so desperately poor and lonely.
Nobody should be yearning for military action against Iran, but everybody should be taking what's happening in Iran very seriously. We have a radical administration, anti-American, that is developing nuclear weapons, and that is a threat to us.
Nobody... I need a prostate exam.
He's just the most unhappy guy.
All the time.
You just see Lieberman, he just, I mean... Look, one doesn't like to traffic in cultural generalizations, but he seems so much, in so many ways, he's just like the living embodiment of so many stereotypes about
somebody
unhappy...
Somebody stole my Shecky Green records.
unhappy Jewish guy. It's just, at least you're not like Zoidberg. And he's totally just... I mean, you know.
Lieberman says he's very concerned about a report in the New Yorker which hinted that the U.S. was considering nuclear attacks against Iran.
They're all out of luck.
I'm relieved that the Bush administration, since the article in the New Yorker appeared, said that this is way over what is the fact.
And then my pipe
he's happy.
Flooded the basement in the handyman. All right. Okay.
Meanwhile, the new adventures of old Christine has arrived at CBS. The show stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus as a divorced mother of one. Sounds very, very exciting, doesn't it? This fellow named Hamish Linkletter is also in the show.
Hamish Linkletter?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that Art Linkletter's kid?
No. He committed suicide. No,
he had a daughter. That was the daughter who jumped out of the window because she was on LSD.
Well, this fellow didn't, apparently. His son, Hamish. He's learned a lot from co-star Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
She couldn't be nicer and sort of more talented and more free with, you know, her wisdom and comic gems.
Is this Peter Carlin? That's what you can hear, like, how he resents having to do the interview.
She couldn't be nicer and sort of more talented and more free with, you know, her wisdom and comic gems.
He was watching a Lieberman speech before he was rudely interrupted.
You took me away from my schwitz. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, one more here. Pictures of a tiny-looking Nicole Richie have been appearing in the press for quite some time now.
A tiny-looking Nicole Richie? Yeah. Like on the side of a taco or something?
Yes, very small.
And they've attracted the tiny-looking Nicole Richie. And someone get a jar.
Some people are wondering if she's a bit too thin. Now the girl herself has hit back at critics, insisting she doesn't have a problem with her weight.
Whatever.
In a recent interview with Glamour magazine, she said, "Am I thin? Yes, no doubt about it. But to say I'm on the verge of death is just untrue."
Why would she possibly be in Glamour magazine? Could you find a woman for whom that's less fitting? All right. She's weird looking, too. She's got a big nose. That's the thing about Nicole Richie. Everything about her, she, you know, and let's all be honest. You know that she just shrinks and shrinks and gets bonier and bonier. That nose stays the same size. It's a pity you can't just go on a diet for your nose. You know what I mean? Because the proboscis stays the same size, the rest of her just withers away to nothing. They're going to bury her, and it's just going to be a nose in a box. All right. Are we finished here?
Just two big eyebrows and...
See, look at that. I mean, she looks like a chihuahua.
She does, doesn't she?
You know it's true. Rick, what about this whitest... This is from Mike in Portland, who is one of our many Negro listeners. He says, what about the whitest phrase ever? How about... This is Mike suggesting this. Rick, I heard you talking about using the whitest phrase ever. Was the phrase, don't look at them and maybe they'll leave us alone? How about, honey, lock your doors? Okay.
Move along.
One of those shows. How about I'm going to get this call while you get a hold of Peter Carlin.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, this is an email from our good friend Chris Sneathan at Oregon Live. Rick, I know you're going over the set list for the listener party last week when I wrote this. Unfortunately, I have to attend a funeral featuring an open casket, my favorite kind, and I won't be able to call in. The band did an awesome acoustic version of Rat's Lay It Down at the Bigger Than Jesus release party. That must be included, period. See you in a few weeks. Chris Sneathan, by the way, he does a great blog on OregonLive.com. You really should read it. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hello, Rick. This is Darren. How are you?
Hey, Darren, what's up, brother?
Well, I was thinking about a Whitney sounder.
Okay.
And if you were to take that techno thing that the fellow sent you in the email.
Wait, hold on. Let me find the techno. This is the techno song the guy, right? All right, that, yeah?
Yes. And then you lay over that Meg Ryan noise from the Meg Ryan.
Oh, the orgasm movie. Sound, right,
that's
yeah.
Lay the two over each other.
Okay. And there you go. And then like just some, and then like a crack pipe and just a humming sound, like a
well. She yeah. does have all of those toys, and, you know.
So, like a vibrating sound in the background, and then just
imagine if she leaves them all laying about. Exactly.
Pick up your toys.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, Darren.
You bet.
All right. So, yeah, thank you. All right.
Oh, my God. I said the best. Well, we should use the vibrating noise, and then, like, the I Will Always Love You.
Yeah, with, like, I will always love you.
That's just begging to be put together.
Oh, it's genius.
Oh, boy.
All right, I don't have a sounder for him, so let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Oregonian TV critic. TV critic Peter Carlin. How are you, Peter?
I'm okay. How are you?
You know, I think we're all high today. I'm not quite sure. You know, what are you going to do?
Stare at the wall.
Yes.
Hey, I saw you on TV last week.
Oh, on Coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Tim, somebody does watch.
How about that?
So you're...
That was a mistake.
Were you flipping by looking for something else? Or
no, I had to watch. I was watching the whole... Yo, I was flipping around trying to check out all that Derek Foxworth coverage.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, they...
So
can...
there you popped up.
Well, we're like upstairs from them, so it's an easy travel.
I figured that out.
They're totally lazy. They're like, look, we don't really like you, but you are only one flight of stairs up, so can we come film you? And
yeah.
Did it look like we were a serious news program?
Crickets, chirp. No, sure, yeah, it did, absolutely, full on. Yeah. It was like the New York Times, only with microphones.
thank you so much. Okay, it's like that Washington Post radio they have now on the East Coast, that's us.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's get right to it. Sopranos last night. Oh,
yeah.
Now, Sarah didn't...
I know, she
okay.
won't listen to the
here's the funny.
She says we talk about it in too much vivid detail.
Okay, now, here's the funny part. Because she doesn't want to be spoiled, she just took off her headphones.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, she's still in the same room with me. She's like a foot and a half away.
Oh, really?
So taking off her headphones, I'm still right here talking right next to her.
That chick is delusional.
Yeah, she's crazy.
She didn't hear me say that, though, did she?
Have you seen that photo of her on the website? I think she... Oh.
I got to check that out.
Well, see? I thought you were going to plug your ears.
Me or her?
No, her.
Her.
See, if you plug your ears, who knows what we could say about you.
I heard that, Peter.
All right. Well, let's talk about The Sopranos last night. So, Vito.
Yeah.
So, this is, of course, the big thing from last night's show that everybody's talking about. So, Vito, who we know he's married, but we know he's closeted because Finn showed up early to the construction site last year.
Yeah.
And saw Vito engaging in an intimate act with one of the, like, the handymen
right.
in a car.
He's got some issues with his orientation.
He does, and he's in, he's married and in denial and whatnot. And so last night, and I everybody's sort of seen this coming, where they've been talking about how he's unhappily married. When last night, Vito excuses himself, says he's got to go make collections.
Yeah.
And then they cut to a leather bar somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Some dudes on Tony's crew come in because they're actually making Shakedown collections at the leather bar.
Yeah.
And then they run into Vito, who is wearing the leather cap and the vest and twirling around and looking like one of the village people.
And that was a jaunty cap, was it not?
It was. Now, I've talked to some people about last night's episode, and do you think that was too much, that they went at the expense of, the actual realism in the show, they played it too much for comedy? I almost feel like it was just too much that they cut to him, and he's just all bikered up. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it just seemed it was just too over the top. It took away from the seriousness of the moment, I thought.
Oh, I disagree.
I mean, it was still horrifying, don't get me wrong, because you know that he's either going to have to kill those guys or he's going to get whacked himself.
Well, Vito's got some judgment problems because, for the one thing, it's like everybody knows if you're going to be screwing around on your wife, and especially if you're going to be doing something that, you don't want the people in your community to know about, you don't do it in the community.
Yeah, you go over the border. You do it in Manhattan or something.
Or something like that. Yeah, Manhattan would be a good place to do it. But, it's the old 50-mile rule. You know, you just go somewhere else.
Right, exactly.
And, but I guess... I don't know.
So,
but to me, that whole episode was about manliness and manhood and the definition of it.
Exactly.
And everyone's anxiety about it.
I want to let you know, by the way, that Sarah's actually in the corner of the studio with her fingers in her ears humming to herself.
Sweet. I love it. I have that. I have that effect on a lot of people.
Have you seen the photo of Sarah? I think somebody different should be doing her makeup on Coin. She looks a little, she looks a little weathered. And so,
hello. Hi there.
The other great moment last night
mm-hmm.
was Johnny Sack, who I love,
mm-hmm.
gets released from prison for 6 hours to go to his daughter's wedding. And you and I have talked about how he is such a great character because he is so sentimental and emotional.
Right.
In both ways. He loves his family and his wife and his kids, even though they're flawed. And yet he's just such a hothead. They let him out. And then just for 6 hours to go to the wedding, and just as his daughter is getting ready to pull away for the honeymoon, the feds come in to take him back to prison.
Right.
And he's not able to see his daughter off, and then he begins weeping.
Right.
And immediately everybody else, it's like they're blood in the water. They start sensing, they're talking about he's not a real man because
exactly.
he cried like a woman.
Well, exactly. And the same reason why Tony was so anxious about the fact that he nearly fell over when he was having to take his shoes off at
right.
the detector.
Right.
Made him look weak, even though he still is recovering from that gut shot.
And I am so fascinated by the culture, by the notion of like machismo and manliness in that culture.
Yeah.
And especially my wife and I were talking about this, about the kissing on the cheek that those guys do.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing that I actually... So am I interrupting your latte?
No.
Okay. There's a thing that I wonder about. I actually, this is a strange thing, but I wonder about the kissing on the cheek of the men, because sometimes Tony kisses the guy on the cheek, sometimes the guy kisses Tony on the cheek, sometimes it's one cheek, sometimes it's both. I wonder if there's some sort of
code
or rule about how you do it and when and how many cheeks. It's all very confusing.
It could be just be spontaneous.
But, you know, they've had this manliness discussion before. There was an episode early on where they discussed Tony performing a certain intimate act on his wife.
No, it wasn't Tony, you moron.
Or wasn't it Tony? Was it somebody else? Was it who?
Uncle Junior.
Uncle Junior.
Remember, he had to beat up that girl or that woman because the word she told somebody that he
performed that act.
Right.
And
most anyone else would think of as, you know, sort of a nice...
Yeah.
But in that culture, it's sort of like, how could you?
Yeah, it's that men do not perform that act on women because it makes you less of a man, blah, blah, blah. And so that whole show is just so much about the code, and mobster films are so much, in general, about the code of manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right, that the whole episode, though, is what it means to be a man. And so we don't know the deal with Vito.
Yeah, we don't know whether he actually pulled his own ripcord or not, but it looked like that was what he was going to do.
I figure he's got to be... I don't think he's dead. I think he's killing those guys, though.
Possibly.
Those guys who saw him in the club.
That could be possible. Yeah, you know, it seemed weird that, like, the moment someone sees you, you just instantly, all right, well, that's it. I got to commit suicide.
Right, especially because he's obviously not a guy who has a problem with violence anyway.
No. You think he would go down swinging, as it were. Though maybe that's what he was trying to do.
Zing!
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be here for most of the rest of the week.
Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back. I want to tell you a little bit more about problems, and then I want to talk a little bit about Lost, too. Okay. So let's break here, Sarah.
She's not listening to you.
And at the end, when Tony died, I couldn't believe it. It was shocking and stunning. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We're here with Peter Carlin for The Oregonian. We're talking Sopranos. Talk a little Lost when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. It's The Rick Emerson Show. We will continue after this. I wish to get alone in the asthma race. I wrote down human inside the space. It should be space and they're better to face. It ain't a bank stamp business. How our lineage is traced. Now let me drop a first and... We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show right here on Johnson 970, part of the CBS radio family. We're here with Peter Carlin from The Oregonian. And I got to say, big show this week. All kinds of... Okay, tomorrow on the show, and I forget her name, blah, blah, blah. Tomorrow we have this woman on from PC Gamer Magazine. I meant to find out her name so I could more appropriately pimp this. But tomorrow, in the 2 o'clock hour, we have... A woman on from PC Gamer Magazine, they've written an article about how to get your girl to be a gamer. How to get your girlfriend to be a video gamer. So that's tomorrow. Wednesday we'll have Portland Poker great Jack Elder on with us, and he'll be talking poker tips. And then Thursday we're going to pick the name of the band, band formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, et cetera, et cetera. We're here with Peter Carlin from The Oregonian. All right, Lost.
Yes, sir.
All right, now you are still watching Lost. You are a fan.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, see, I fall into, we were talking about this earlier, I fall into that portion of the country that watched the whole first season, and then about 3 episodes into season 2 just kind of went, no, and just stopped. And have you, I mean, am I projecting, or is that a thing that really happened? Is the viewership of the show down as much as it feels like it is?
Feels like?
Well, I mean, dun-dun. So, Rick Emerson Show, thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970 right here on the Jets 970. By the way, I've updated my weblog to show that breast. That's a little bit of a slip. So now we kind of are two-fisting it. Now there's a photo of Sarah making. It's not really an ooh-oh face. It's sort of an ooh face. Right below that, though, I put a visual aid for today's show. Best Britney photo ever.
If you go to sarahxtillin.com or our MySpace profile, myspace.com/TheRickEmersonShow, you can see Rip hugging a poodle.
It's not important. You know what it is. The Britney photo is quasi-safe for work. It's not... I mean, technically she's nude, I guess, but you can't really see anything. You can check that up. Dig deeper. Rick, naked pictures. Why, oh, why, oh, why? Oh, God, why? I should just turn the writing of the show over to the emailers, because listen to this. Who in God's name would want to see naked pictures of Whitney Houston using sex toys? It's a valid question. It really is. It really is something that deserves to be asked. And I have to say that I don't really know that I have the answer to that. I think it's one of those questions that is best left unanswered. Anyway, he says, who in God's name would want to see naked pictures of Whitney Houston using sex toys? I mean, he continues. Correct me if I'm wrong, where it led up to, like, the revelation of the guy in the hatch with the gun or whatever, and it was a cliffhanger, and then the next week, they did that, and they basically did the same episode twice. They did, like, a whole flashback thing, and it was just that, and it led up to the very same moment, and then it ended again, and they made us watch the same story, the same episode, almost, twice in a row. And the thing that...
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the CBS Newsbeat, Dear Rather Reporting. Well, a whole bunch of people demonstrated in Portland today. It says here hundreds, if not thousands. How do they count those? Well, they marched at Pioneer Courthouse Square, gathered at noontime at Terry Shrunk Plaza.
Terry Shrunk?
Yep, Terry Shrunk Plaza.
All right.
And let's see, they carry signs said, we want justice.
All right, whatever.
Then,
I'm going to go home earlier, and I want a cheeseburger. Nobody does anything about it. Eat it.
That's true, too. Thousands of protesters gathered at the state capitol in Salem yesterday, chanting things. Salem is home to some of the state's 300,000 Hispanics. By some estimates, at least half are illegal. Meanwhile, Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, the world's biggest whiner, says he's believed that the Reagan administration has refuted reports that he's planning airstrikes or even a nuclear attack on Iraq.
If only I wasn't so desperately poor and lonely.
Nobody should be yearning for military action against Iran. But everybody should be taking what's happening in Iran very seriously. We have a radical administration, anti-American, that is developing nuclear weapons. And that is a threat to us.
Patelis, as I like to call them.
Right.
But since then, she's kind of faded back a little bit, and the original characters have come into the fore a bit more, though she's still there and she still plays a role.
I think that's because people hate her, though. I think they've probably done that because the audience detests her so much.
Well, I don't know why people hate her so much. I mean, she's an interesting... I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't agree. I was shocked a little bit last year when the show was such a hit because it's so not typically a TV show or a primetime network.
Like Zoidberg, and he's totally just... I mean, you know.
Lieberman says he's very concerned about a report in the New Yorker which hinted that the U.S. was considering nuclear attacks against Iran.
They're all out of luck.
I'm relieved that the Bush administration, since the article in the New Yorker appeared, said...
Potential. I feel very frustrated by the show.
But you have... When was the last time you watched it?
Well, it's been like a couple months. So my wife is still on it. I did bail on that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you sir, are making a mistake.
I am hoist by my own petard.
You are.
Are we out of time, sir?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ah, damn it. All right, what day is today?
It sounds like Monday to me.
How long until your book comes out? And don't pretend you don't know. Don't pretend you have to think about it.
No, it's May 2nd is the actual
day. It's like 17 days or something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, and that's a Tuesday, right?
I think so.
So you got to come in, so that Monday, you got
this. She couldn't be nicer and sort of more... talented and more free with, you know, her.
Fortunately, so we should talk more
about what?
About Lost.
No.
So we should talk about Lost a little next week.
Okay.
All right. Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian, online at Oregon Live, having to do the interview.
She couldn't be nicer and sort of more talented.
You must ask.
And more free with, you know, her wisdom and comic gem.
He was watching Lieberman's speech before he was rudely interrupted.
You took me away from my schwitz. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, one more here. Right. Pictures of a tiny-looking Nicole Richie have been appearing in the press for quite some time now.
A tiny-looking Nicole Richie?
Yeah.
Like on the side of a taco or something?
Yes, very small. And
they look attracted... at the tiny-looking Nicole Richie. And someone get a jar.
Some people are wondering if she's a bit too thin. Now the girl herself has hit back at critics, insisting she doesn't have a problem with her weight.
Whatever.
In a recent interview with Glamour magazine, she said, "Am I thin? Yes, no doubt about it. But to say I'm on the verge of death is just untrue."
Why would she possibly be in Glamour magazine? Could you find a woman for whom that's less fitting? All right. She's weird looking, too. She's got a big nose. That's the thing about Nicole Richie. Everything about her, she...